Demons, Fyodor Dostoevsky. Chapter 3. The Duel. The next day, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the duel took place as arranged. Things were hastened forward by Gaganov's obstinate desire to fight at all costs. He did not understand his adversary's conduct and was in a fury. For a whole month he had been insulting him with impunity, and had so far been unable to make him lose patience. What he wanted was a challenge on the part of Nikolai Vsyevolodovitch, as he had not himself any direct pretext for challenging him. His secret motive for it, that is, his almost morbid hatred of Stavrogin for the insult to his family 4 years before, he was for some reason ashamed to confess, and indeed he regarded this himself as an impossible pretext for a challenge, especially in view of the humble apology offered by Nikolai Stavrogin twice already. He privately made up his mind that Stavrogin was a shameless coward, and could not understand how he could have accepted Shatov's blow. So he made up his mind at last to send him the extraordinarily rude letter that had finally roused Nikolai Vsyevolodovitch himself to propose a meeting. Having dispatched this letter the day before, he awaited a challenge with feverish impatience, and while morbidly reckoning the chances at one moment with hope and at the next with despair, he got ready for any emergency by securing a second, to wit, Mavriky Nikolaevich Drostov, who was a friend of his, an old schoolfellow, a man for whom he had a great respect. So when Kirillov came next morning at 9 o'clock with his message, he found things in readiness. All of the apologies and unheard-of condescension of Nikolai Vsyevolodovitch were at once, at the first word, rejected with extraordinary exasperation. Mavriky Nikolaevich, who had only been made acquainted with the position of affairs the evening before, opened his mouth with surprise at such incredible concessions and would have urged a reconciliation, but seeing that Gaganov, guessing his intention, was almost trembling in his chair, refrained and said nothing. If it had not been for the promise given to his old schoolfellow, he would have retired immediately. He only remained in the hope of being some help on the scene of action. Kirillov repeated the challenge. All the conditions of the encounter made by Stavrogin were accepted on the spot, without the faintest objection. Only one addition was made, and that a ferocious one. If the first shots had no decisive effect, they were to fire again, and if the second encounter were inconclusive, it was to be followed by a third. Kirillov frowned, objected to the third encounter, but, gaining nothing by his efforts, agreed on the condition, however, that three should be the limit, and that a fourth encounter was out of the question. This was conceded. Accordingly, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the meeting took place at Brykov, that is, in a little copse in the outskirts of the town, lying between Skvoreshniki and the Spigulin factory. The rain of the previous night was over, but it was damp, grey and windy. Low, ragged, dingy clouds moved rapidly across the cold sky. The treetops roared with a deep droning sound and creaked on their roots. It was a melancholy morning. Mavriky Nikolaevich and Gaganov arrived on the spot in a smart charabanc with a pair of horses driven by the latter. They were accompanied by a groom. Nikolai Vsyevolodovitch and Kirillov arrived almost at the same instant. They were not driving. They were on horseback, and were also followed by a mounted servant. Kirillov, who had never mounted a horse before, sat up boldly, erect in the saddle, grasping in his right hand the heavy box of pistols, which he would not entrust to the servant. In his inexperience, he was continually, with his left hand, tugging at the reins, which made the horse toss his head and show an inclination to rear. This, however, seemed to cause his rider no uneasiness. Gaganov, who was morbidly suspicious and always ready to be deeply offended, considered their coming on horseback as a fresh insult to himself, inasmuch as it showed that his opponents were too confident of success, since they had not even thought it necessary to have a carriage in case of being wounded and disabled. He got out of his charabanc, yellow with anger, and felt that his hands were trembling, as he told Mavriky Nikolaevich. He made no response at all to Nikolai Vsyevolodovitch's bow, and turned away. The seconds cast lots. The lot fell on Kirillov's pistols. They measured out the barrier and placed the combatants. The servants, with the carriage and horses, were moved back 300 paces. The weapons were loaded and handed to the combatants. "I'm sorry that I have to tell my story more quickly and have no time for descriptions, but I can't refrain from some comments. Mavriky Nikolaevich was melancholy and preoccupied. Kirillov, on the other hand, was perfectly calm and unconcerned, very exact over the details of the duties he had undertaken, but without the slightest fussiness or even curiosity as to the issue of the fateful contest that was so near at hand. Nikolai Vsyevolodovitch was paler than usual. He was rather lightly dressed in an overcoat and a white beaver hat. He seemed very tired. He frowned from time to time, and seemed to feel it superfluous to conceal his ill-humour. But Gaganov was at this moment more worthy of mention than anyone, so that it is quite impossible not to say a few words about him in particular.